Okay, welcome everybody. Good afternoon. I hope everyone enjoyed the inspirational speakers at lunch. That was really amazing. And thanks for taking the time for our last session. I'm Susan Hayes. I'm Vice President of Supply Chain at Cisco in San Jose. And I'm really excited to be your MC today for this session. I'm also excited just to lend my personal support to the issue of equity and diversity for women in the workplace. At Cisco, we have a very broad vision for diversity in trying to bring the strength of our global employees for everything they bring to work, whether it's their cultural background, ethnicities, abilities, work preferences, and affiliations. So we try to really bring that power to everything we do. And I'm proud to also announce that we were just recognized as number 7 on the Fortune 100 list of best places for diverse workforce. So that's pretty cool. We're also proud to sponsor the Massachusetts, be a sponsor for this conference today. And I hope that everyone can take just one or two really great tidbits back, whether it's networking, whether it's a new tool or trick, whether it's inspiration, back to your careers, your communities, into your companies. So on to the topic for today, negotiating. How many people here feel like they're expert negotiators by show of hands? Anyone? Okay, you're in the right place. So let me introduce you to our speaker today, Chris Voss. Chris is the CEO and founder of the Black Swan Group Limited, the author of Never Split the Difference, Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It. He's used his many years of experience in international crisis and high-stakes negotiations to develop a unique program and team that applies these global proven techniques to the business world. Prior to 2008, Chris was the lead international kidnapping negotiator for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, as well as the FBI's hostage negotiation representative for the National Security Council's Hostage Working Group. During Chris's 24-year tenure in the Bureau, he was trained in the art of negotiation not only by the FBI, but by Scotland Yard and Harvard Law School. He is also a recipient of the Attorney General's Award for Excellence in Law Enforcement and the FBI Agents Association Award for Distinguished and Exemplary Service. Chris has taught business negotiation at many distinguished universities across the globe, the University of Southern California's Marshall School of Business, Georgetown University's McDonald School of Business, and Harvard University, as well as internationally at the IMD Business School in Lausanne, Switzerland, and the Goethe School of Business in Frankfurt, Germany. Since 2009, Chris has also worked with Insight Security as their managing director of the kidnapping resolution practice. Please join me in welcoming Chris Voss.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to try to give you guys as many skills as I can that you can go out and use right away. I mean, even when you walk out of the room. So, but one thing, someone's going to feel aggressive. Understand that this negotiation philosophy is built from dealing with people that we couldn't afford the anger on the other side. So if it feels, if it's new to you, it feels like it might go bad, it feels like it might be too aggressive, you got to try it out. Don't let your concerns about it not working. Give your data improves design. And there's a couple skills that people pick up from the book. By the way, buy the book, all right? Buy the book. Buy my book. One or two skills from the book that people pick up right away, and I get emails back from people saying, like, I should teach on your staff. I'm killing it now. I'm making great deals. And I'm going to share a couple of those with you. They're going to be really simple. You have to be willing to try them. Small stakes practice for high stakes results. Start practicing them in your ordinary conversations. That'll give you the confidence to use them otherwise. If you wait till a really important negotiation to use some of these skills, you're not going to do it. You got to get your practice in first. But I'll share with you a couple ones. And I get emails saying, like, look, I should teach on your staff. And my thought is, I'm really happy that you're applying this stuff, actively applying it. But it's the tip of the iceberg. So I'm going to give you guys a tip of the iceberg. I'm going to want you guys to try it, some real specific stuff. But understand it's just the tip of the iceberg. We got a lot further to go beyond that. So the first thing, I'm going to make a list of things that I want to try to get across to you. Hopefully, I'll hit each of these in the first hour. In the first hour, in the only hour. All right, so write this down. How am I supposed to do that? Write it down. As you're learning also in your learning practice, one of the things that we've discovered recently in a great book called The Talent Code by Daniel Coyle, he talks about accelerated learning. You accelerate your learning by handwriting things. If you were in one of our open enrollment intensive training sessions, I wouldn't let you take notes on your laptop or on any electronic device. I'd make you write the stuff down. It fires the synapses in the brain in a way more effectively. That's how you build a skill through repetition. You create neural synaptic connections in your brain. So the number one way to say no is, how am I supposed to do that? Ideally, you say it with the hostage negotiator's voice, which is the late night FM DJ. So when you're going to say no to somebody for the first time, I don't want you to go, how am I supposed to do that? Because your inner voice betrays your outer voice. And that tone of voice that I used just now, the unspoken words were, you idiot! And that doesn't help you. Tone of voice. We have things in our head known as mirror neurons. I can begin to affect how your brain functions. Before I finish the sentence, if you can see me, if you can hear me, I can hit your mirror neurons. I can start an emotional reaction in your brain, which then causes a chemical change, which then affects how your brain thinks. And when I use a late night FM DJ voice, which hostage negotiators use as the default voice, I'm actually slowing your brain down. And it works when somebody's upset. That's why we use it on a regular basis. If you're in a contentious discussion, use the late night FM DJ voice. Use it with your boss. Every negotiation skill that I share with you works with your boss. I don't want a negotiation skill that I can't use with certain people. We like unlimited skills. It's one of the reasons why, if the words calm down are in your vocabulary, take them out. Because you can tell some people to calm down, and they will calm down. Some people. If you use calm down and you like it, use it on your boss. No. That tells you that it's a bad phrase. All right, the next thing I want you to write down is, do you want me to fail? Which is a version of a no-oriented question. You got to get used to no-oriented questions. You've got a yes addiction. Everybody does until they become aware of it. Till I became aware of it, I had a yes addiction. It's going to be hard getting out of that. We don't bother with the word yes. One version, one way or another, if I need something really important, I'm going to ask what we refer to as a no-oriented question, where the answer no gets me to where I want to go. Works with everybody. The great thing about what we refer to as a calibrated no is it's usually worth at least 5 yeses. We'll get into that a little bit more later. It's going to be some practice. You can get really good at no-oriented questions. And these are the two things that people get good at. How am I supposed to do that in no-oriented questions? That's when they start emailing me and saying, I'm making deals that I never made before. So if you can get just those two, you're going to give yourself tremendous advantages. It's a lot more there, but you will begin to outperform people on a regular basis just with those two things. How am I supposed to do that is the opening story in the book. It's kind of an entertaining story, so I won't spoil it, but it's incredibly effective, and it's what we started using with terrorists and kidnappers globally, and I worked a lot of cases internationally, and we never had anybody blow up on us. We worked it really effectively. So it's been battle-tested in contentious negotiations. If you're worried about it, you will not get over that fear until you try it. You're going to have to try it with whomever you're talking to. I mentioned earlier today, Ned Colletti, the guy who's a general manager from the Dodgers, he liked the phrase, I like to let out no a little at a time. How am I supposed to do that is our first way of saying no to someone. We like to say it gently. It creates collaboration. It also begins the trigger process we refer to as forced empathy. You want to use empathy for two reasons, because it's a good thing to do. You want the people that you interact with to feel respected and regarded. That's only half the reason. The other half of the reason is what? You want it back. And how am I supposed to do that is a great phrase that causes the other person to stop and take a look at your position before they go on and think about it. It triggers what Danny Kahneman refers to as slow thinking, which is in-depth thinking. It's a tremendously powerful thing to be able to do in a negotiation. And the other side doesn't feel like you're putting anything on them because people love to tell you how to do stuff. From the other side, it's eminently satisfying. You're going to have to get good at how am I supposed to do that. Then we're going to get into something called labels. Those are simple. They take a little bit more practice to get good at. I'll introduce you to those briefly. We should have time for a little bit of practice. But of all the stuff we do, I want you to get out of your yes addiction. That's going to sound simple, but it's going to be hard. This is what it's going to feel like. So I know I asked everybody to take notes, but for a few moments, I'm going to need everyone to have both hands free. So whatever you do, to give yourself the opportunity to have both hands free. All right, make a fist with each hand. Put your right thumb up. Put your left forefinger out. You still got your thumb out. Well, tuck that thumb in. Now switch. Switch back. Speed it up. Come on, let's go. Quicker! All right, thank you everybody for participating. All right, so let's talk about the neuroscience and just what just happened. That felt awkward, right? Actually felt awkward in your brain. Did you need to be as smart as Amal Clooney to be able to do what I asked you to do? No. The barrier to learning is not complexity. The barrier to learning is awkwardness. Interestingly enough, it's also the requirement for accelerated learning. Now, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So when you're trying out the skills, take your time. The only reason I could do this is because I practiced. That awkward feeling you had, here's a cool thing. That was actually the feeling of creating a new neurosynaptic connection in your brain, which to me blows my mind. It's actually good for your brain to do stuff like that. How many times does it take to form a new habit? How long does it take to form a new habit? Somebody said, what, forever? Anecdotally, we know about 3 weeks, about 21 days, right? It also corresponds to about 63 to 64 repetitions. And that's why if you're trying something new, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, some days you don't remember. After about 3 weeks of going by, you've got it. What we didn't remember was at the very beginning, it felt really awkward. That's when most people quit, when you can't give up. Awkwardness is required for accelerate. If it doesn't feel awkward, you're not accelerating your learning. Using some of these skills, stepping back in a moment, is going to make you feel awkward. Effective use of pause, silence, going to make you feel awkward. I hope so. If it makes you feel awkward, you're learning, and ideally you're creating a new neurosynaptic connection. Now, I happen to be into this stuff because we're way into human performance now, emotional intelligence, all that stuff. And you start reading about this, you start reading about some crazy stuff, and then, you know, I'm an old guy, so I'm doing everything I can to make my brain healthy. I'm willing to admit that I read that it was good for your brain health to brush your teeth with your opposite hand. Try that tonight. Now, I'm willing to admit, the first time I did that, I had to move my head back and forth, get my teeth. But eventually, I got it. But it's good for your mental agility. It's good for your long term. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make it interesting. And you guys, if there are any horror fans out here, you know the Saw movies. What's the Saw movies? What's the phrase that all those horrifying movies start with? Let's play a game. So let's play a game. I'm going to be the hostage taker. I'm going back and forth in my mind whether or not I'm going to let people volunteer, just pick people. But I'll be looking for volunteers to negotiate with me in front of everybody. Bad guy, bank robber trapped in a bank. You'll be the hostage negotiator. You got the bank surrounded. So each of you is sitting in your chair right now wondering, is he going to pick on me? One of the other things that concerns me, because I'm not really into gender differences. I try to be gender blind as much as possible. I want high performance. It does bother me to read a negotiation book written by a woman that women want to be 100% ready before they volunteer, and men have a tendency to be when they're 60% ready, or like me, like I might be 4% ready, I'll volunteer. But you got to volunteer, you got to jump in before you're ready to accelerate your learning. Those that run the trouble, those that want the big projects. Will you fail? Yes, you'll fail. There's no such thing as a mistake-free environment. The biggest failures in my career led to the biggest gains. I got to the point where my last major failure in the FBI, I was thankful for it. Because all the previous failures, I got passed over for promotion when I was in New York just before 9/11, put me on the path that I never would have gotten on to be the FBI's lead international kidnapping negotiator. I was devastated when I got passed over for a promotion. Towards the end of my career, I got passed over for a promotion again. And I went, woohoo! It's a good thing. There's good stuff coming at me. Don't let your setbacks set you back. You're going to need those setbacks. They make you smarter. They put you on a better path anyway. Welcome them. So in volunteering, volunteer before you're ready. Even with that pep talk, I want you to know that if you engage in this experience with me in front of the group, it's going to be horrible. We got any volunteers? One, two. I'll take all three of these in a row real quick. All right, so are our Q&A mics on? The first volunteer up in the front, please just go ahead and go up to the mic. All right, so I'm the bank robber, you're the hostage negotiator. The bank is surrounded, you and your colleagues have the bank surrounded. You have four restrictions, there are only four things that are non-negotiable. You cannot do these things, you cannot do them. You can't give me weapons, you can't give me transportation, you can't give me drugs or alcohol. You can't exchange hostages. People don't come in. People will only come out. We'll simulate being over the phone. You'll say ring, ring. I'll answer, and we'll start.
Ring, ring.
I need a car in 60 seconds or she dies.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine.
What did you have for breakfast today?
55 seconds.
You didn't answer my question.
You got now 53 seconds to provide that car.
How am I going to do it?
You bring the car out front, you put it right out in front of the bank. You leave the keys in it, you clear the perimeter, I leave.
I'll try to do my best, but first you need to answer my question.
Okay, a couple things. We're going to stop right there. Nice job. Awesome. It took you a second, but you got to how am I supposed to do that? Now, I will tell you off on the side. Keep asking the question until the other side tells you how to do it. Your job in any given negotiation is to find out what's possible and to stay in the negotiation until the other side tells you you're at your limit. That's the only skill you will ever encounter that will push the other side to their limit without them blowing up. Because normally when you push somebody to a limit in a negotiation, you know it's a limit when they scream at you, call your names, and leave. Now, you did beautifully getting to that point. She was really successful in this negotiation because you may not have noticed, but how many times did I mention a clock? It went away until she asked me a question that had nothing to do with the context. What did you have for breakfast? That was out of context. It was a good what question. I like what questions. We like what questions, but it's got to be within context. There was nothing involved in a conversation up to that point that had to do with anything about my breakfast, so I know you're trying to change the subject on me. How are you today? That isn't a bad question. And the clock didn't kick in until she said, what did you have for breakfast? Now, the other thing, she's got a great voice. She's got a nice, soothing, calming voice, especially since I punched her in the nose at the very beginning. Right? That's a great reaction. She didn't let her mirror neurons kick in and override and put her in an angry voice. What's your first name?
Lana.
Lana, nice job, Lana. Thank you very much. Next.
It's a hard act to follow.
And by the way, I'll tell you a funny story. Normally when we do this in a training, the people that are engaged, while the others are waiting, they have to go out and they can't hear what's going on. And plus each person goes a lot longer and they feel beat up really bad when it's over. So one day when we did it, after the first person went and the second person came walking in the room, the first person said, just so you know, I got her out. I thought, wow, that was really mean. All right.
Ring, ring.
I need a call in 60 seconds or she dies.
Who is she?
You'll find out when I throw her dead body out the front door.
Okay, what kind of car do you need?
Give me a four-door automatic transmission. It'll be fine.
How far does it need to go?
You just fill the tank with gas and let me worry about how far it's going to go.
So how do you want me to get this car to you?
You put it right out front. There are cars all over the place. There are plenty of cars. You shouldn't have any problem getting me the car. Just put it right out front.
So how do you expect me to get a hold of a car? I don't have one with me.
You came in a car today, didn't you?
I did not come in a car today. I will.
Really? Now you're going to lie to me. Would you fly here?
I actually took a taxi to get here.
Well, you came in a car, didn't you?
I have a taxi with me.
All right, we'll stop there. Lots of good how and what questions. You did a nice job sticking to them, though. And each time when you were reaching, did you kind of feel like your brain going, ah, right? Those are the synaptic connections being created. That's accelerated learning. You got to listen to the person in front of you. You felt challenged, but you stayed in it anyways. Nice job. First of all, round of applause right there. Great tone of voice too, right? Awesome. Now, she almost, what did she almost do? And I know you were thinking about this. You want to ask me how could you get me a car within 60 seconds, didn't you?
Yeah.
Good job staying away from the time. You don't want to come back to that at all. Nice job. Lana was the first young lady. The other thing you did really well that I liked was when I was asking for the car, you didn't say, I'll try, which is one of the world's great lies, isn't it? But you did say it was going to be hard to do. If you've got a counterpart who's asking you for something you don't think is going to happen, saying it's hard to do is a good move. So that was a good thing. You did a really nice job. And your first name again?
Julie.
Julie. Thank you, Julie. All right. Say ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
I need a call in 60 seconds ring, or she ring. Dies.
Ring, ring.
Ooh, much smoother. I need a call in 60 seconds or she dies.
That's going to be hard to do, but how am I supposed to do that?
You put a car right out front. put it out in front of the bank, you leave the keys in it. Simple.
It's going to be hard to get a car. Can I get you an Uber?
See, there's where her synaptic connections that were firing, and she said, can I get an Uber? thank you, but no.
You said
you'd be surprised to hear they suspended my Uber account. Too many low ratings. All right, let's get back and roll. Stop messing around. This is serious.
I just wanted you to say no, which you did.
Okay, there you go. No. Mm-hmm. Good job. 55 seconds.
55 seconds?
Ooh, have you read the book?
And I watch your podcast.
You're a ringer. Yeah, 55 seconds. That's what I said. 55 seconds. You got 55 seconds to provide me with a car.
Is there anything else I could get you?
No.
But you did ask for something else.
No. Car, 50 seconds.
How am I supposed to do that?
I think I told you that once. Put the car right out front.
Inside or outside?
Right out front of the right out front side the front door. 15 feet away from the front door.
Okay, I'm going to get that for you, but do you have your license?
So you have agreed to the car. Excellent. And you've got 45 seconds to provide it. We've just made a deal.
Yes. But what else do you need?
Nothing.
Do you need seats in the car?
You've already promised the car.
I'm going to get you the car, but I just want to know, what else do you want me to do?
Nothing.
Just get you the car.
Just give me the car. That's all I need.
How far do you want it to drive?
Okay, we'll stop there. All right, so did a couple different neuroscience things with her really quick. Now, she was a little bit stuck when I switched to the late night FM DJ voice, right? I don't know if you felt the slowdown, mm-hmm. But when I smiled at you, you asked me a different question, which actually was much, much better. How far do you want it to go? I think that was your last question, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a nice pivot. See, here's the other thing. Sean Acker tells us we're 31% smarter in a positive frame of mind. We put a positive frame into our mind, and we put it in the other person's mind. They get smarter, too. One of the things that I said earlier today, never be so sure of what you want that you wouldn't take something better. How do you get something better? Part of it is to trigger, put your partner, your counterpart, in a collaborative, positive frame of mind, whether they like it or not. You can begin to trigger that. You're going to get more thoughtful responses. You're going to get better answers. And you came up with a better question right after I shifted over. Now, I don't know that you wouldn't have done that anyway, but I do know that a positive frame of mind strongly correlates to better moves. Now, the other thing, too, that she's done the entire time, she's had a great voice. You don't have to fight back to stand your ground. You know, one of the negotiation books here is called Push Back. Two-thirds of us need to get a mindset that you got to push back. A third of us, we just need to stand our ground. I had, before I go off on a tangent, may I ask your first name, please?
Shaida.
Shaida, nice job, Shaida. Thank you very much.
Everybody get the book. It's really a great, great book. I read it twice.
When I asked her if she'd read the book, she used a skill on me. She used a mirror on me. So that was really good. I attended and was a speaker for the leadership portion of the TED Women's Conference in Palm Springs last week. And among the attendees was Jeannie Leavitt. Does anybody know who that is? She's a rock star. She's the Air Force's first female fighter pilot and the first female to ever command a combat air squadron. And I was talking with her, I was listening to her, hearing about how she sort of navigated everything that she did. And I don't think she would ever tell you that she pushed back. She'd probably tell you she just stood her ground. And there's some fine lines here. We like assertion. We need empathy first. Assertion without empathy is more likely to cause a fight. I'm not looking for a fight. I'm looking for either what I had in mind or something better. And I'm 1,000% convinced that no matter what the situation is, there's always something better possible if I can tease it out. So I try not to get really fixed on what I think the outcome is. Jeannie Levis talking about, she gets into flight school when Congress makes it, because it used to be against the law in the United States for women to go into combat. You guys know that? It's actually against the law. So Congress changed the law before Department of Defense, DOD, changed the policy. So she graduates flight school, and they give her a list of planes. What do you want to fly? She puts down all fighter planes. And they say, you can't fly combat planes. We don't care what Congress says. It's still against DOD regulations. What do you think she says? The perfect answer, which is why I'm convinced that she continued to move forward. No, she said, I don't care what you put me in. You asked me what I wanted to fly. I answered the question you asked me. You just asked me a question. You know, put me in whatever you want. What DOD and Congress, that's with you guys. If you ask me what I want to fly, if you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an honest answer. And they were kind of like, oh. She gets into flight school, finds out that overwhelmingly the instructors in flight school are on her side, all men, with one exception. She doesn't know who this person is, but she knows that somebody there is passionately against her very presence in flight school. She gets to flight school. They challenged all the trainees at the very beginning. They got too many tasks for them to accomplish that an individual can accomplish, which they quickly figure out. They got to work together. They break up a division of labor. She's got a job. She's got to go get some forms. She walks into the office to get the forms, asks for the forms respectfully, and this guy lays into her with both barrels. This has got to be the one guy against her, right? And he is up and down. She's got no business being there. Women got no business in combat, on and on and on and on and on. She stands there. And when he gets done, you know what she says? Can I have the forms? And then she tells a great story that when flight school was over, she's drinking in a bar with her fellow graduates, and the guy that tore her apart at the beginning walks in and sits down and says, they will never let me fly with you, ever, based on what I said about you previously. But I want to buy you a beer, and I want you to know it would be an honor to fly with you. So some of these things are a test. Whatever the other side is, I believe in respect and deference and assertion, standing your ground. Being deferential is not being submissive. Being deferential is not backing down. There's great power in deference. Deference in your tone of voice, deference in your approach. Get what you want. That's what this is about. It's not about picking fights. Although I will tell you, everybody that we train them to fight if necessary. It's a really stupid analogy. I love the analogy of the Starship Enterprise. Because the Starship Enterprise is about exploration, right? Go where no one has gone before. Gather information. Starship Enterprise was always about establishing great relationships, prepared to fight if need be, and even after a fight, wanted to go back and establish a relationship with the people they just got into a fight with. Those are great. Long-term relationships are the keys to long-term success in business and negotiations. Now, what might a 60-second so she dies negotiation look like? Well, pretend you're an FBI agent, and this is you. See if we get this to come up. I'm going to switch over to my video. Oh, by the way, my mom's not on Instagram, but she loves when people take pictures of me. Oh, and also, I will tell you, you know, at the introduction, you heard some of the awards that I'd won. My favorite award is my book is on my mom's coffee table. Can't come into her. She's going to make you come in the front door and make you walk by and see that book when you come into the house. All right, so that's my mom. All right, here we go.
This is you. Could be a nice three-day weekend coming up. Only before you're done, you've got some training session. You sit down with your unit.
How you doing, Buckley?
What's up?
Pete, this is Tom Waring, transferred from our Dallas field office.
Good to meet you, sir. Welcome aboard. Just to let you know, Buck here is our SWAT head honcho. Better keep your distance after dark.
Actually, I'm a new SWAT team member.
SWAT. Serious weapons and testosterone.
Pete here is one of Meyer's process negotiators, so you really might want to keep your distance after dark, if you know what I mean.
Negotiating? That's some pretty interesting stuff.
So what is this?
Some training on benefits.
That's required?
It's important, guys.
Hello. Hi. I'm Ted. Ted? And we'll be starting in on changes to dependents' dental co-payments and spousal disability claims procedures in a few moments. So if you need coffee or a last-minute potty break, now's the time.
Oh, boy.
It's important.
And out of nowhere, the new SWAT guy pipes up.
Yeah, so I was always wondering, what do you say if some dude's got a gun and he's got someone hostage at and he says, I want a getaway car in 60 seconds or she dies.
They almost never say that.
Yeah, what do you say?
Guess.
I'm going to kill her now.
Okay, why is that?
Because you won't answer my question.
You're upset with me because I won't answer your question?
Yeah, I'm pissed off. I want my car now.
You sound mad. What's this all about?
They foreclosed on my dry cleaning business.
Your dry cleaning business?
I have this store.
Sounds like your store is really important to you.
I want my car, and I want it now.
Okay, let me get this right. You want transportation right away, right? That's going to be tough. Let me bark that up to the chain of command.
No.
While command makes a decision, can you tell me more about the foreclosure?
No, I want the car in 60 seconds or she dies.
Sounds like you're really frustrated and mad. I want to work with you on this. Let's not let time get in the way of working things out.
No, I want the car now, or she dies.
What kind of car do you want?
A getaway car.
Something like a green Volkswagen, is that okay?
I don't care, just something.
But I don't want to get you the wrong car. Someone's life is at stake. While they're deciding what to do, can you describe the car you want? Buckley, you want coffee?
Sure.
Coffee?
Yeah.
Black or with cream?
Black.
Sugar?
No.
Okay, let me see about that.
I want the car, and I want it in 60 seconds.
Okay, but I'm trying to get you the coffee you asked for. That was black, right?
Yeah.
How am I doing?
93 seconds.
Coffee is coming. No one wants to see anyone get hurt over a cup of coffee.
I'm telling you, I want the car.
Okay, I've been listening to you. You seem like a really good guy who's been kicked in the gut with this whole foreclosure business. There's only one thing I can't figure out. With coffee in one hand and a gun in the other, how are you going to drive?
I have no clue.
So why do you want the car? Let's think about this a little bit and see if we can find a better way to handle this. So can you tell me what happened today?
That's my guy.
So what do you say when he's got a gun to her head?
I say, hey, new guy, do you have a shot?
All right. That was all the skills bundled together. I know it sounded like a conversation. With enough practice, you can throw that stuff together that quickly. Probably heard a couple of the things in there from my skills. I'm going to jump forward. I want to show you guys. All right. Whoop. There we go. Free newsletter. Free. Only if you want more. Buy the book. Buy the book. I'm not kidding. Buy the book. But we do have a newsletter. Text FBI Empathy. It's free. A lot of people that read the book like this. It's a short article every Tuesday morning. It's a quick tune-up, very practical stuff. It's a great supplement to the book. It's a gateway to everything that we have. It takes you to the website. It tells you about training. We have got a lot of stuff out there that's free. And this is a gateway to getting that free stuff. So when you engage in negotiations, you will make mistakes. Don't let setbacks set you back. I got a short video to show you on a setback, a mistake, the importance of preparation and responding in the moment.
A proof of life video, that's what they're called. The ultimate good news, bad news story, if you're ever unfortunate enough to see one. Today's high stakes rescue mission in Colombia ended a drama that has been dragging on for years. Chris Voss is the former FBI lead international kidnapping negotiator, and he worked on the...
How many of you aware of my preparation error as I appeared on CNN? Not side of my head, my hair sticking out. Kind of hard to see, but it's sticking out here off on to the side. So this is the first time I was ever on CNN. I'm really excited about this because I'm son of Richard and Joyce Voss from Mount Pleasant, Iowa. There are more people watching CNN than the town I grew up in. I'm going to go in here and I want to do well, and it's pretty cool. Like, there's stuff I didn't know. Like, I heard they had a green room. Do they have a green room, and is it green? I'm from Iowa. If we get you got a green room in Iowa, it's going to be green. That's why you call it the green room. They get green rooms at CNN, they're not green. Okay. So you go in, they put you in a room. It's a large, dark closet. A light shines right in your eyes. Supposed to look right below the light. And down and to the left is a monitor, and they say, when we go live, the monitor's going to come on. You'll be able to see the programming. Do you want that off or on? And I said, leave it on. I never saw me on CNN before. I want to watch me on TV. So we've just gone live, and I'm looking down to the left, and I can at the monitor, which my son, by the way, is screaming at the TV, stop looking at the monitor. And I see that my hair is sticking out. And as you can see, it's stressing me out a little bit. This ain't a happy look on my face. And what's making it even worse is the monitor's a mirror image, and I don't know which side of my head the hair's sticking out, which is really stressing me out. But I'm a hostage negotiator. I perform under pressure. I come up with options, right? So first thing I got to do is I got to see if I can isolate where the problem is.
This case from the beginning until his retirement just last year, he joins me now. Chris, this has got to be kind of...
For some reason, I thought moving my head around was going to help. Maybe it would wave in a breeze. But you can see from the look on my face, I'm like, nah, it didn't help. So I'm trying to decide, what can I do? What are my options? Do I go with two hands on my hair and you know, I'll look like one of the Three Stooges? And what happens if it doesn't stay down? Can I lick my hand? I probably can't lick my hand. I'm feeling the pressure. You know, people are going to tell my mom, like, what's the matter with your son? He can't comb his hair. So, while I'm sitting there...
A remarkable day for you to be so...
Anderson Cooper's hair is perfect. This is not fair. I know. The producers went, hey, let's go split screen. Let's make sure that everybody sees how good Anderson's hair looks next to Boss's. And you see, there's a little bit of extra stress on me. There's a little bit of a snarl creeping into my face right now as I see the comparison. So I'm on there, I'm feeling the pressure, the people watching me, you know, people are going to tell my mom about this, my former colleagues, my first CNN appearance.
Closely involved in this and to finally see... see it come to fruition.
Damn it! The point that I'm making is you make mistakes. You'll make mistakes. They didn't ban me from CNN. As a result of that, I got invited back a whole bunch of times. You prepare, you get ready, and you'll find that you've made a mistake. You said the wrong thing. Maybe there's some information you felt you didn't have. You got caught off guard. It's okay. It's okay. Keep pushing. Stick to an approach of respect and a consistent use of empathy with the other side, regardless of how they react. Don't let them take you out of your game, which you know is a good process, a respectful process that gives you the best chance of success long term. Thank you for spending time with me today.